Church, turn with your Bible to Daniel chapter 1. We've had two sermons in Daniel, and Daniel purposed in his heart, and last week was a blessings from God to Daniel, and then last week was Daniel was a blessing, and to be that blessing to others. This morning, it just hit me in this third and fourth chapter, and also the first and second of the friends. Daniel and the three men, and look at verse 6. Everybody look at verse 6. And it says, now, Daniel chapter 1, verse 6, now among these were the children of Judah. They were all from one tribe, one family. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now this is their names that the Christian, the God families gave to them before. And all of these means something about Jehovah. All of them are God names. And when they got to Babylon, they gave them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Last night we had a man named Abednego here. Pretty neat. But it was neat to realize that these guys, we do not know if they were friends in childhood, growing up in church or whatever. We do not know. All we know is they're 16 years old right here in chapter 1 and very close in age. And they are developing friendships. They have the same character. They have same goals, the same devotion. They were devout. They were. Their work ethic was good. Their love for one another was good. Their discipline was good. Their excellence, their love of learning was good. They develop friends. I trust you have friends. Do we need friends? Do we need good friends at all ages? We always talk about friendships with children and teens. It is crucial. A good friend will help you through those years. Is that right? And we need to foster that. So that's why we have a church. That's why we have a youth group. That's why we have a children's meetings. And that is very important. That's why we have all kinds of grandmas and grandpas around. Is that right? And Sowers here, he's a grandpa to all of them, okay? They walk in the church, the children immediately say, where's the candy man? I said, don't you love me? And the answer is, no, we don't love you. You know, we love the candy man. And that's important to be that. I trust if you say, well, I don't have any grandkids. Well, they're all around you. Grab you a couple of them. And if you have... I've asked him to pass out toothbrushes, but he gives out candy. And he should pass out toothbrushes, but that's all right. And it's important that we realize friends are so important. And Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, they were friends there. In chapter 1, verse 17, as for the four children, friends, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had it in visions and dreams. Verse 19, there was none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah before the king. Verse 20, they had wisdom and knowledge and judgment, and they were 10 times better. If you're looking for a friend, you better get a good friend. In college, I had a friend. His name was Derek Matsunaka, man from Hawaii. And I had him as my friend because he knew how to study and make A's, and I need to learn how to study and make A's, okay? He had me as a friend because I knew how to have fun. And he didn't. And he would come in, I'd be studying something crazy, and let's go play. And I go, I gotta study, you know. But he helped me. And he taught me a lot. And I had some friends in high school that were good for me. And there's friends that are bad for you. But to have a good friend, you got to be one and then search and find one and look for one till you find them. And parents, and for your teenagers and your children, I think it's good to work at that and be a part of that. And it's very important. Don't Well, no. Let's find some yeses. And that's very, very important in our life here. Young adults, your friends will either push you towards God or pull you away from God. And these are three good friends, four good friends. And in chapter 2, verse 17, when he got in trouble and he was needing somebody to pray, I want you to look at it. Everybody look at it. Chapter 2, verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house, okay? Now catch who all lived there, and made the thing known to Ananias, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. They lived together. They were companions. They were friends. They were close friends. Is that right? They were the ones that they leaned on, and they stood together, and they worked together, and they praised God together. Verse 18. That's the four of them, the four friends, would desire mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men in Babylon. It was just a death issue, and they were friends, and they got together, and they prayed, and they praised God together, and they were together. Chapter 2, verse 49. Then Daniel requested of the king to set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the names that the king gave him, over the affairs of the province of Babylon. He not only was friends with them, they all stuck together and got employed together and found jobs together. Is that pretty important? That's pretty important. And they played together, they prayed together, they worked together. They were godly friends. And oh, we need good friends. We need to be a friend, and we need to find friends. Teenagers, I encourage you to find a friend till you know, don't quit looking. Well, I don't have a good friend. Keep looking. There are ones out there that are so, so important. And here these guys are 18 years old, and they need friends badly. We jump down to chapter 3, and somehow Daniel's missing here, and they're gathering all the leaders in chapter 3, verse 2 together, and chapter 3, verse 3, all of the rulers and the provinces all together, and they're setting them all together, and they're trying to figure out what's going on, and they got this big idol, and they're all worshiping it, and the three boys aren't, and they stand together, and they're noticed that, wow. Verse 12, we're looking at chapter 3. We're getting at verse 10 here. This is a text here that you know very well, that the king's making a decree that everybody worship this big image, and the three boys are together, they're friends. Do they stand for God together? And we need teenagers and children and young adults and older adults to stand together for God in these days. And if you don't have that friend, man, be one, and then do your best. Pray, look, come, get faithful in church, and find that good Christian friend, because it'll make you live right through your teen years and your 20s and your 30s. Amen? It's so important. Eric, come and read it for us. Daniel chapter 3, verse 10.
The heading for this section in my Bible is Daniel's friends disobey the king. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up."
Did those friends stick together? Did those friends know what was right, know what was true, know who the God was? Were they studied and learned in God and already been walking with God so that they didn't even have to answer? You know, there's only one God. We're not going to do wrong. We're just not going to do wrong. We're going to do right. And together they did right, and together they didn't do wrong. And we need togetherness. Is that right? We need togetherness as friends. And I challenge all of you, whatever age you are, do old people like myself need friends? You should have said, "No, preacher, you're not old, but you need friends." Okay. But we all need friends, and we all need help, people standing with us. We have a day where it seems like we're the only ones standing. Let me tell you, keep standing. But note that we have a church here. It's what God gives you a church for, to realize we're not alone, but to stand together. And these three friends were right here, and somehow Daniel wasn't with them, but they knew that what was right, and they stood, and the image was there, and they said, "No." King loved these guys, and he said, "Well, let me give you another chance. When the music plays, you know, it's just a little curtsy. Come on. It's not that right is right and wrong is wrong. And a little bit of wrong is still wrong. And a little bit of worldliness is still worldliness. And a little bit of flesh is still flesh." We need to know that. Young people, young adults, we need to understand that in so many areas. And the friendships here are so important to grasp this. And they said, we're going to do right, and we're going to stand for what's right no matter what. And it is good. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 26, they were servant. They'd come out of the fiery furnace together, and it was wonderful, miraculous. And Nebuchadnezzar said, "Of you three guys," verse 26 of chapter 3, "ye servants of the Most High God." And then verse 28, he says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and blessed the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." It wasn't the God of Daniel now. It's the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego now, because they stood. It's just not one of their, but three, and their friends, and they were together. "Who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him," that's who they were, all three of them, "and have changed the king's word. They didn't pay and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God." Friends, I sent you a paper. I don't know how many gets my paper. I sent you a paper yesterday morning about friends and true friends. Put it up about true friends here. True friends heighten our joy in God. A true friend, two are better than one. They stick closer. They hold us accountable. They build us up strong. Two standing together, encouraging. We're not alone. A true friend heightens our joy in God. Number two, a true friend exposes sin in us that keeps us from God. And a true friend is truthful and honest and frank and confrontive. And they see us slipping before we fall. Is that true? And they can help you. A true friend does that. They sense trends in your life or directions in your life that are starting to go the wrong direction. A true friend will challenge you and expose it and be sweet about it. But is that right? That's great. Number three, a true friend will encourage us to obey God, will support us in obeying God, studying with us what's right, be together in doing right, strong in doing right, and they listen to us and they encourage us. It's great to have a true friend. And fourth, a true friend brings us to God in our weaknesses, prays for us, confronts us. You know, these are areas that you're struggling in, and let's pray for this. Let's stay away from this. Let's get closer to this. And we have a day where we desperately need true friends. And as I was thinking about true friends, it made me think about the secret life. I want you to turn to look at that one. Daniel chapter 2, verse 47. Everybody look at it. Daniel chapter 2, verse 47. It says this. It says that the king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth, it is that your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Just struck me that if we're not careful, we have a secret life in us. It's a thing that is spoke about on TV and a lot of movies about, the secret life. The person you are that nobody else knows about except God, or when no one is looking or listening. Secret. Secrets of behavior. Nobody knows but you. Secrets of attitude. Secrets of desire. Secrets of fantasies. Do we have a world of fantasy today? And people get into that world playing video games and everything. If you're not careful, you'll be thinking about stuff. You never do it, but you think about it. And it takes away from God and ambitions and motives. I don't know your motive. God does. I just want to challenge each of us in one thought. Is there a lot, part of your life that nobody knows about but you, and that it's holding you back from God? You're playing games with God. Does He know? He knows. Does it hurt you? Yes. I want you to deal with it. If you need help, we're brothers and sisters here. If you have something that's hidden, nobody knows. God knows. And let me tell you, there's probably others that know too, especially in your family. And you're trying to keep it back. No. Don't hide your sins. Face them. Is that what the Bible says in Proverbs? And get them forgiven. And to deal with the secret things. You say, well, everybody has them. No, everybody doesn't have them. And if everybody does have them, it's still wrong. That just jumped at me. That's a free part in the sermon this morning. Because I think there's more of that than we will admit. And in the long run, those sins catch up with you and destroy you. Keep you from joy. Keep you from victory. Keep you from serving. I challenge you to confront them personally. And if you can't get victory over, get some support. Get some help. Get a person to mentor you, to come alongside, and to hold you accountable. Amen? I don't want to leave that, but I want that to stick in your soul, because God knows. And if you let it go a long way, it becomes an issue that can destroy you. And you don't want that at all. And that is something that's real. Also in chapter 3, just another side thought, is music. In chapter 3, verse 5. Let's all look at chapter 3, verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 5. They played music in chapter 3, verse 5, verse 7, verse 10, verse 15. It looks like music and worshiping the image went together, and they rented all. The music instruments is not, you know, they can be good or bad. Music is out of bounds in our culture today. Do you realize 100 years ago, to have music, you had to either play the piano or you had to play the harp or the dulcimer or whatever. You know, you had to play it or be around people. Then it became music. Then we got into the electronic age, and now we're into the digital age. Remember when you carried a boombox around on your shoulder? How many carried a boombox around on your shoulder? Come on, admit it. I did that. Now we have a day where music is everywhere and everything. And the church has allowed music to be dominant. The singing this morning was awesome. And congregational singing is what you want. You don't want a group up here that entertains you and they're really talented. And it's very important. And music needs not to be the culture. The culture runs our music today. Is that right? Our culture. Not the church, but the culture. And it produces emotion. And then it stimulates worship, so-called. But there's a lot of flesh and worldliness. And little truth. And progressively decreasing. And while feel-good emotion is increasing. Is that true? And there's nothing wrong with emotion. Am I an emotional guy? Yeah. But if we're not careful, how we feel when a certain song comes up is what we allow to call our worship. And I got some good songs that I feel good about. But truth needs to be the solid rock that produces emotion. When you have truth, a Bible verse, you read that and you should, yes, I'm forgiven. Yes, I'm going to heaven. Is that right? Yes, he guides me of how to love my wife and treat my kids and how to be a good employee. Yes, he tells me how to speak. It tells me how to think. Is that right? Yes, and truth. If I do that, I'll have joy and peace. Is that right? Truth, and that gives you emotion, and that produces heartfelt worship. It's in the spirit and holiness, and it's majestic singing and music passionately. Some music is meant to be soberly. Is that right? Some is, yeah! Some is, oh, you're great. And it's very important. And it's with joy based fully in God's truth. We do not apologize for not playing all of the big band and big boom meat music in our church. I don't say it's bad. I just don't think it's best. And also, I don't see it producing solid Bible families. That's all. And the other, I think, keeps a little weak because it's emotion driven. And if I fall in love with my wife just when emotion, when she cooks my favorite meal, I fall in my love with my life because of truth. That she's committed to me and I'm committed to her. That's truth. And that gives me emotion to love her and her to love me even when I'm not too lovely. You can say amen. And if it's all emotion, then it's woo, 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 woo. But if it's truth. But let me state this. Truth should be emotional and we should enjoy in Christ alone. Is that right? And Emmanuel, God with us, all these songs, saved by the blood. We're going to end our service this morning with, He lives! Now that's emotional. But truth should produce music and singing. An emotion, but not emotion, because that leaves you empty. And I want you to catch that. And I love it. We've been putting some emphasis. Patrick's been doing a great job. Emphasis on the song and the words and truth. And I love music. I love it. Okay? But truth needs to be paramount. The words need to be everything. If you have music, it drowns out the words. Come on. Come on. And that's the way our world's going. Our churches are going. The music's everything. And the words, if you can hear them, are all right. But no. Words should be dominant. Truth should be dominant. And it should develop motion. And then it produces worship before emotion. And then it's emotional. And we sing. But I just want you to catch that's why we do what we do. And great singing this morning. Let it just touch your soul and realize this what grows a church. This what grows strong families. Truth. And that it becomes emotion and worship and passion, and the basis of our joy is so important. Lastly here, I know it's 12 o'clock, but there's no service tonight, so... if you want to stand up and turn around, do it, you know. Let's move on to Daniel chapter 3, verse 28. Daniel chapter 3, verse 29. King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 3 gets a hold of God and transforms his life, it looks like. And it says, therefore I make a decree that every people and nation, chapter 3 verse 29, and language which speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their house shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. And he's the God. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their God. It looks like he gets saved here. Chapter 4, verse 1. All nations and all peoples should have peace. And all the signs and wonders where he's just done everything. And the prophecies of chapter 2 and the fiery furnace here in chapter 3, verse 3 of chapter 4. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His wisdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion is from generation to generation. It looks like he believes here. But belief without a changed life is not belief. It's very important to understand that. And here we see that he's going to town here and he realizes, wow. So he goes into chapter 4 and somehow he forgets. He forgets here. We're in chapter 4 here with 569 BC. Daniel is 51 years old in chapter 4. Daniel was 33 years old in chapter 3. Daniel was 18 years old in chapter 2. Aren't you glad Daniel lived for God at 18? Aren't you glad that Daniel was still standing for God at 33? Aren't you glad that Daniel was still standing for God at 51? And we're going to go all the way to his death at 85, the whole book. And but here Nebuchadnezzar has a chance to get saved because Daniel's there interpreting dreams. The three men in the fiery furnace, he should have got saved. He said all the right words, but nothing happened. Then in chapter 4, he has another dream, and Daniel interprets that dream. And in verse 19, he's there, and Daniel cares for him and is troubled by telling him. And then verse 25, 26, 27, he says, King, you're going to act like an animal. You're going to lose your mind. You're going to eat grass. You're going to be like a cow wallowing out in the fields. You're just going to be a wild man. No, it's my kingdom. I built it. Here, 15 years has passed, and he forgets about it all. And God says, wow. Daniel says in verse 27, chapter 4, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be accepted unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, and if it may be at lengthening of thy tranquility. No, I built, look at verse 30, I built all this, I'm powerful, I'm great. Verse 31, nobody can do it like me. And then he just doesn't, and he falls flat on his face. face and he acts like an animal and it's a mess what's going on. And then at the end in verse 34, he lifts up his eyes afterwards and he blesses the Most High God, and I praise and honor him, verse 34, that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion and his kingdom is from generation to generation. There's verse 35, none is like him, none can power him. Verse 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven and all whose works are true. And he praises the Most High God. It looks like he gets saved here in chapter 4. Okay? I want you to know, when someone truly believes, it shows. Now, we're not perfect by no means, but it's good starts coming on and bad starts falling off. Is that right? And I hope you know that and you should realize that. And if there's no change, there's no salvation. And here we have a man who he's told by Daniel in a dream, and he should have done that. And then the boys in the fiery furnace, and he responded to that. And then some years passed and he forgot all of that. And then he wallowed like an animal, and God brought him out of that, and he finally believes. Aren't you glad they finally believe? I want you to know, if you're saved here today, there's a change in your life. It's happening. And I hope you see that. And that gives you assurance. And that realize, man, I'm not what I used to be. Well, I'm not what I should be in fully, but I'm not what I used to be, and I'm praising God. And change is happening in my life. And if you see somebody get saved and you start seeing change in their life, go up and tell them. Go up and tell them, because sometimes they're discouraged because they're still doing some sins. And if you see a change in their life, tell them. But if there's no change in a life and a person claims to be saved, they need to get saved, because change happens when you really get saved. Things fall off that are bad, and things come on that are good, and life is wonderful because God's in your life. I trust you know you're saved here this morning. If you're not, this is a great time to get saved. You can talk to myself, to one of the people beside you. Teenagers, if you're not sure you're saved, you've just been playing a game, got a lot of secret sins, deal with it, folks, deal with it. If you're not sure you're saved, get saved. And there's got to change. And our friends, and realize, wow, thank God for your friends. Be a good friend, a godly friend. Find godly friends. Get that secret stuff out of your life that nobody knows but you, but God knows. And then know you're saved, huh? Because He's changed your life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us all to get excited, because You live, we're going to live also. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.